feel we have from the Lord. It's completely different, and I might just start off by saying happy Thanksgiving. Yes, I know it's tomorrow, and I know, but some of us are going to have turkey today. I'm having my turkey today, so we'll see. Got it? Okay, share the screen. Share the screen. Share screen. There we go. Got it. Good. Share. Okay, got it. Let's see if it works. Okay, should work. Let me see. Voila. There we go. Happy Thanksgiving. En français?
Bonne action de grâce.
I'm putting them on the spot. Well, I'm going to be putting them on the spot a lot today. But it's good that we can share the word together. We've gone over the message virtually on our computers. We've gone over the message together. But you didn't pay for the Starbucks. I had to pay for it. I'll take it off my income tax. Whoop, better not say that my daughter-in-law might be here. But anyway, here we are, and we've got a message completely different. You know, when I'm invited to Parkcrest, one thing I like about Parkcrest is they give you a passage. They don't tell you what to say, but they give you a passage that you can sort of look into and spend 20 hours on and come up with a thoughts and go over and over and over at it. And it's a little easier than, you know, when somebody said, well, would you come and speak? And Lord, what do you want me to speak on? What do you want to speak on? And I was told this, I could speak on just Thanksgiving, a Thanksgiving message. Well, wow, Thanksgiving message. That's pretty vast when you think of Thanksgiving. I mean, what are some of the things we can give thanks for? Let's take a look. What are some of the things?
You can give thanks for your house, your car, your family, your church, your health, and your jobs.
We could go on and on and on. And so I prayed. And I prayed. A week went by, I didn't get a message. Another week went by, and I even sat out here sometimes with a nice coffee on that beautiful bench and praying, Lord, what do you want me to speak on? I just don't want to blah, blah, blah. You hear enough of that on the radio and on the television. And I wanted something that would grab you, grab me first, because if it doesn't grab Isana, me, then it's not worth doing. So this morning, as I think of what I was going to speak on, I asked my young brother to come and help me, because my reading is atrocious and his reading is beautiful. And also, I think he's got a gift. And I would ask you to pray for him. One of these days, I'm going to ask the powers to be here at the church if I could take him with me. Sometimes, not all the time, to some of the other churches I preach in. But I haven't done that yet, because I still want to be invited here. Because maybe if I take him away, I won't get invited here, so I'll just shut up for the time being. And it's hard to believe, but there's, what, a 6 decades difference between us. And the message I'm going to speak on this morning, you're going to say, yeah, okay, we can understand. It's you're 77, and it's got nothing to do with a person 17 or 20 or 30 or 40. But I think it does. And I was at a funeral recently, and the person passed on to Gloria, and this dear person finished the race well, fantastically well. I mean, come on now. At the funerals, everybody passes. They talk nice things, and there's nothing against the person, and it's all rosy. But I mean, this person finished well. So after the funeral, I said, well, maybe the Lord wants me to speak on this. Well, how can you speak on this and on a Thanksgiving Sunday? So our subject that we're going to be talking about this morning is that you can finish well. And that's the beautiful thing about the Word of God. The gift, we can thank God now that you can finish well. What does Hebrews 12:1 say?
Let us run with endurance the race God has set.
So we're all in a race together, junto, ensemble. We're all together, hand in hand, 1777. We're together. We're in a race. I'm not trying to beat him. He's not trying to beat me. But we're working towards glory. And my message is exactly that. You can thank God today that you can finish the race well. It was a very interesting study, and I actually am going to do a series on it. And if I'm ever invited to a conference for old people and young people, I will probably speak on it. I was very impressed with it. So the question I have for you, and the question I have for myself, the question we have for everybody and ourselves, how to finish the race well. We want to finish the race well. Right now we're on a good foot, where God wants us to be, and that's in His house. On Sunday, He likes us to go to meet together with other believers. And you, Alton, Zoom Lamb. Hi, how are you? Say hello to people in Zoom land. Yeah, okay. How are you going to finish the race? What does it say in Hebrews 12, 1, 2?
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of... I don't think this works. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
So we're in a race, and it says in the scripture, we're not to lose heart. And if you've ever been in a race, any type of a race, you'll find that it's not always easy. You have to train for it and so on. But you know, we are running a race. We are running down life journey, and we're not to look to the left or to the right. We're to run. And this is the image that we have in scriptures, running the race. But the Thanksgiving message is that I'm going to tell you right now that you can finish the race. It's a gift from God. It's like the Holy Spirit. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He gave us the Holy Spirit. You are full of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to cry out and roll on the floor and wave your hands and say this or that. You have the Holy Spirit in you. The question is, are we allowing Him to work through us? He's there. And we can win the race. Because He is with us. But everybody didn't win the race. Look what the scripture says.
1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize.
I was an athlete. I know you look at an old person standing up there, a little overweight and gray hair. You're going to say, how is he an athlete? I went to Vancouver Tech. I was on the track and field. I did pole vaulting. I did 100-mile club. I did around the track four times to make it a mile. I enjoyed it. But you know, running the race, the spiritual race, running life's race isn't always that easy. But I'm telling you right now, that's why Park Crest exists. That's why we have our local churches, because we work together. We want to finish strong. I want to finish. I don't want to finish as a wishy-washy vegetable. I don't want to finish as a sour, negative old man, cranky. I want to finish well. And I want each of you, I want you, I want all the different ages here to finish well. What happens tomorrow if the Lord takes you home? Did you finish your life well? You don't know when your life is going to end. I don't know when I'm going to end. I mean, they took my heart out 3 years ago, and they looked at my heart, and they fixed it up. I think they put it back in. I don't know. There's something pumping there. I hope it's mine. I thought I could go home to heaven. But I want to finish strong. I want to think strong. I want to be strong, and I want to finish strong. How about you? I'm finding in our churches today, many people have sort of left their faith. They have left the church. They have gone to the left and they've gone to the right. But you know the wonderful thing, we can finish strong. Excuse me for using this name, but notice what it says on here. I was at this funeral. I spoke at a funeral. It says, start well, finish strong. That's what I want to do. I don't want to finish necessarily with $1 million, $2 million, $3 million dollars in the bank. I want to finish strong. I want to leave a legacy of to my children, my children's children, and my children's children's children. That's what I want. What is going to be written on your stone? Run, finish strong. I'd love that. That's what I really want. Now, look at this and listen to this. This is going to blow the socks off your feet. Some of you don't have socks on your feet, so it won't. But read this and follow along, because this, I've investigated it.
He discovered that most did not finish well. Of 1,000 leaders in the Bible, less than 30% finished well. Solomon started out well, but finished poorly. Not talking about salvation, but living out the purpose of life.
See, you won't lose your salvation if you don't finish strong, but you'll lose your reward, and you're losing your joy right now. When I was doing this study, and again, I said, I'm going to do two or three messages on it. It is so shocking. 30% of people didn't determine well. David, he goofed. Oh, he made some boo-boos. I'm like him sometimes, mind you. And yet he confessed that and he finished strong, David. Peter, Pierre, Pedro, hey? Come on now. Did he finish strong? Yes. But he goofed. He denied the Lord. He went backwards, but he finished strong. How are you going to finish the race? How am I going to finish the race? Gideon. I was a Gideon for 55 years. The Gideons don't exist anymore. It's called the Share Word Global. The name has been changed, but that's okay. And then Cigna has been changed. But all the 55 years I was with the Gideon, I said, why did they choose his name? Because, of course, he won the battle, 300 soldiers. But he finished terrible, terrible. He finished really making a mess of his life. Sure, he started out well. I mean, Gideon has become popular, and the people wanted him to rule over them. I mean, he had so much success, they wanted to put him up on a pedestal and make him king. Well, let's look at what the scriptures say about it.
Judges chapter 8, verse 22. Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, rule over us, you and your son, and your grandson also, for you have saved us from the hand of Midian. But Gideon replied, I will not rule over you, nor will my son. The Lord will rule over
you. Amen. The Lord will rule over you. That's what he said. He won the battle against Satan. Satan was there and saying, come on, we want to put you up on a pedestal, and we want you to be king, and we want to have you rule over us. Pretty good, eh? I've said that many times in different things in my life, but sometimes I haven't. Maybe you haven't always.
However,
be careful of the howevers in your life and the buts. See, because it says he refused. He refused to be king. However, but. But, however, what?
However, I do have one request.
One request.
That each of you give me an earring from the plunder you collected from your fallen enemies. The enemies, being Ishmaelites, all wore gold earrings. Gladly, they replied.
Gladly? Money. Maybe that might be your downfall. Maybe you're going to look to the left or the right because of money. He wanted the earrings, the gold earrings.
They spread out a cloak, and each one threw in a gold earring he had gathered from the plunder. The weight of the gold earrings was 43 pounds, not including the royal ornaments and pendants, the purple clothing worn by the kings of Midian, or the chains around the neck of their camels. Gideon made a sacred ephod from the gold and put it in Ophrah, his hometown. But soon, all the Israelites prostituted themselves by worshiping it, and it became a trap for Gideon and his family. As soon as Gideon died, the Israelites prostituted themselves by worshiping the images of Baal, making Baal birth their god.
That's so sad. But, well, I want to serve the Lord, but I want to get a new house, so I'm going to have to work overtime, so I have to do this, I have not. But, I worked hard this week, but I'm going to just watch television for 2-3 hours, and nothing's wrong with television, nothing to watch. Wasn't that sad yesterday? Did you watch the baseball game? You did? Were you happy?
Yeah,
we'll talk about that after. I think Seattle won, didn't they, against Toronto? Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Man, he's bigger than me. I don't think I'll fight with him. Anyway, you know what I mean. But I didn't watch the whole game because I had to go over this 5 or 6, 7 times in front of the mirror and try to get it straight. But... buts in my life. Try to think in your life some buts or maybe or how. It's mind-boggling. You know, this was Gideon's downfall. This was Gideon's downfall. In this whole dialogue, no reference was made to God. You read it at home when you have time. No reference was made to God. The people did not give credit to God for their newfound freedom, because Gideon won the battle. Whoopee! We're free from the oppressors. We're free from the enemy. Thank you, Gideon. Gideon, you're a great man. Gideon was the talk of the town. The people gave him credit, but he didn't deserve it. Gideon did not deflect it to God. He took it all in. Is that like us sometimes? Sometimes I finish a sermon and people don't say nothing. Other times they say, oh, good sermon, Ron. I go there, yeah, it was a pretty good sermon, wasn't it? No, it's God that gives you the power to do this, that, and the other thing. It's God. But Gideon didn't give God any of the credit. Sadly, this whole story of Gideon paints that true spiritual condition of Israel. God was needed when they went into battle. They won the battle, and then they said, ciao, arrivederci, au revoir, wiedersehen, goodbye, God. We don't need you anymore. We won the battle. Thank you, Gideon. Oh, you're a great man. What are the things in your life and my life that take us away from giving God the glory? This is a sad moment for Israel. It's a sad moment for humanity. Think about what really matters in life. What really matters in your life and my life? It's not who you are. It's who you have become. It's not what you say. It's what you do. I can blah, 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 blah all day. Now, we were at Starbucks, and this guy came in. Excuse me for using this example, but it just happened. And you didn't pay for the coffee. I paid for the coffee. Anyway, you owe me one. Anyway, this guy comes in, and he sits down, and he looked kind of... I said, would you like a coffee, sir? He says, yeah, thanks. And I said, well, you know, we're preachers, and we're going over the sermons, and you know, it's hard to do, but I have to practice what I preach. How much did that cost me anyway? So I went and bought a guy a coffee. But I can't say, good, Ron, that's wonderful. No, it was natural. It just came blah, Blah. I didn't get a chance to witness to him because he got up and left after about, what, 10 minutes, 15 minutes? He didn't even drink the coffee. I was going to bring it here and drink it. By the, anyway, but see what I mean? I'm trying to practice what I preach. Are you practicing what you believe? Are you practicing what God did through Jesus for us to follow? Gideon didn't. So it's not what you say, it's what you do. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. We can all start in a gallop. We can all start the race. But it's finishing that counts. Only the final judge, Jesus Christ, is the one who's going to judge us. But we got to keep running, and we got to keep running together. Put your trust in Jesus today, and you can finish the race well. And keep your eyes upon Jesus. I would sing that right now, but you'd all go on. I've still got 15 minutes. You know, you turn your eyes upon Jesus. What a beautiful song. And if we want to finish well, if we want to finish strong for Jesus, we got to start now. We got to start at his age. Thank God many people have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ when they're 45 or 50, and they finish strong. But we have to start in the starting line. When we accept Jesus, we have to fight the good fight. One more example. I've done this hundreds of examples. I mean, look at Solomon. Well, oh, so many. Asa, right?
Asa.
Well, I use a Spanish accent. That's what the excuse I use anyway. So here we have Asa. Anyway, he was a king of Israel. And let's look at his life and examine your life, not in the person in front of you or behind you, beside you. Examine your life in the light of Scripture, in the light of this example that the Holy Spirit have the writer put down for us. Go ahead.
And Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days, the land had rest for 10 years. And Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He took away the foreign altars and the high places and broke down the pillars and cut down the Asherim and commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to keep the law and the commandments. He also took out all the cities of Judah, the high places, and the incense altars, and the kingdom had rest under him. He built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years, for the Lord gave him peace.
Isn't that wonderful? Wow. What an example for me and you, for all of us. He did what God wanted him to do. And he reigned for 12 years. And the first 10 years of his life, this is what happened. The first 10 years of his life, he did all of these things. However, but look what happened.
At that time, Hanani, the seer, came to King Asa and told him, "Because you have put your trust in the king of Aram instead of in the Lord your God."
You know what happened here, really? They were going into battle, and what happened, Asa, he went to the king and asked for his help. He put his trust in this other king to help him. Okay, carry on.
"You missed your chance to destroy the army of the king of Aram. Don't you remember what happened to the Ethiopians and Libyans and their vast army with all their chariots and charioteers? At that time, you relied on the Lord, and he handed them over to you. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose heart are fully committed to him. What a fool you have been. From now on, you will be at war."
What a fool you have been. Why? Because you relied on someone else instead of relying. And notice the last verse. Asa became so angry. What happened?
Asa became so angry with Hanani for saying this that he threw him into prison and put him in stocks. At that time, Asa also began to oppress some of his people.
So he puts the blame on Hanani. How do you say that?
Hanani.
He took his eyes off of God And he went and got help in the battle. And then the prophet came and told him about it. So he put him in stocks. Don't trust in men. Now, I don't mean that negatively. I mean, I trust in many people, men and women that love the Lord and have given me good examples and so on. But don't trust in men. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Trust in God. You can't go wrong. You can't goof. God longs to come to your rescue, but you have to allow him to rescue you, just like you have to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. You have to allow God to rescue you when you goof. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's one of my favorite verses because I goof so many times. If you do nothing, you don't goof too much, but if you do a lot, you goof a lot, and I do. And I thank God for that. And there's a number of lessons in this life of Asa. Anyway, there's a lot of lessons that we can learn here. And first, as I said, don't trust in man. He trusted in the other king, and he lost God's blessing. Trust in God. Second thing, God longs to come to your rescue. What does Psalm 14:2 say?
The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand and any who seek God.
He's there. God's there looking. He wants to help you. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's there with his arms wide open. All we have to do is go. All we have to do is ask. And we're going to talk about that as we go on. So, look what it says in 2 Chronicles 16:19, which we've already read, but we'll read again.
For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose heart are fully committed to him.
To strengthen. He's going to strengthen us. He'll give us the oomph. He'll give us the power. He'll give us the desire. He'll give us the ability. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I was in Guelph, Ontario. Missionary Service Committee is an organization that helps missionaries in our type of worship assemblies. And I was there. And there was 100 delegates from all over the world. And it was great to see some of them, and I haven't seen for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years. And they're still going on. It was an encouragement to me that they're striving, they're running, they're working, they want to finish well. But the Lord is there. We just got to make ourselves available to him. Then there is power in prayer. Prayer is so important. You know?
James chapter 5, verse 17 to 18. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop.
He prayed. And you know the story. Any of you here in BSF? Yeah? That's where I got this. That's where I got Asa in the BSF. Wonderful. It's a study. And people say, well, why are you studying the Bible at 77, preaching 55 years? Because I don't know anything yet. I'm working towards, I want to know more. I want to be better. I don't want to be better than this young punk. But we're running together. He can help me. I can help him. That's why we have our assemblies to meet together, to worship together, and to strive together. Jesus said,
and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
So if you want to finish well, keep praying. See, God speaks to us through his word. And we speak to God in prayer. And more we talk to God, more he's going to talk to us. More we read the Bible and we're praying, Lord, give me. I mean, these two examples, I just got in the last couple of weeks since I was asked to speak, and I got it from studying his word. Let's carry on here because time is going. And James, the brother of Jesus, said something.
Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise.
It doesn't say. James, the brother of Jesus, said, is anybody among you in trouble? Google it. No, it didn't say that. No, if anybody's in trouble, check it out with some really good authors, writers. No. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let him
pray.
Amen.
Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. Even if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective.
See the idea of working together? Did you see how she plays the, is that a piano or teclado or organ?
Keyboard.
Keyboard. Good.
Do
you see how she plays the keyboard and her sister sings and our leader of worship today confess that there's things that he can't do, but thanks to, it's working together. We've got to work together. It's so important. As we work together, we're going to finish well. And we pray together. It says right here that we are to pray for one another. And that is so important. The power in prayer. Prayer is so powerful. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. It's true. If you're weak, pray. If you're strong, pray even more, because Satan will attack you all the more. We have to pray. We have to spend. And then the last point is don't blame it on others. Did you notice how Asa, he really put the blame on the prophet? I mean, he put the prophet into stocks. He put the prophet into chains. Oh, but no, it's not my fault. It's his fault. No. It's her fault. It's their fault. No, it's the way I was brought up. I had two fathers and four mothers, so I act the way I act because of that. I was an orphan, so you act the way you act. No, we can't blame that. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're new creatures in Christ. He'll help you. He'll help you to finish the race strong if you allow him to. And you can't blame the situation, the society. No. It's because of the 3 years of the virus and. Oh, no, it's because of climate change that I'm the way. Come on. Let's get back in the Bible and work together. And I know it's a pat answer. And it's not as easy as I'm saying, leave your heavy burdens at the cross and sin and go free. But it is biblical. And we can work together. And maybe it takes a little time of counseling. Maybe you've got to see a doctor. Maybe you've got to see a Christian psychologist. Yeah, but we're working together. And I can't blame it on someone else. That is so important. And that's what we tend to do.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3-4. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths.
Itchy ears. We talked about that this morning. Itchy ears. Yeah. Itchy ears. It is natural in our self-worship society that people would reject the truth. People today are rejecting the truth because it doesn't tickle their ear. It isn't pleasant. Truth can be brutally painful. I've experienced it. I've made mistakes and somebody's come up to me and said, hey, sorry. Sometimes it's painful. We can live a lie. It's easy to live a lie. You won't die if you disobey God, because God is a God of love. And God wouldn't put anybody to death because he's a God of love. Yes, he is a God of love, but he's a just God and a righteous God. And I could go down the list, and many of the sayings and This is why conservative and churches aren't very full today, because they're telling the truth the way it is, black on white. It doesn't tickle the ear. It's not pleasing. And we've got to be careful of that. We've got to be committed. What's the verse there say?
Asa, the Bible says, had a heart fully committed to the Lord all his life.
All his life, but at the last, he goofed. He made a mistake. And we teaches us so much, because he trusted in men at the last 2 years of his life, and he finished poorly. But if you want to be a Christian who finishes well, finishes strong, you could be committed to the Lord. Commit to the Lord. Finish well, finish strong. Don't trust in man, trust in God. God longs to come to our rescue. There is power in prayer. Don't blame others for your action. And these are all biblical things. Starting strong is good. Finishing strong is epic. What legacy are you going to leave? Would you like to close in a word of prayer, please?
Dear God, I pray that for everyone here today, that we can take from this message and understand and use this message in our lives to be able to finish strong and to use the Bible as a guideline for a way to finish strong in our life. Amen.
Amen. And again, happy Thanksgiving.